What do you guys think? Let's talk about what's the best use of time.
I think for me, the best thing to do now is to go be your own personal channel.
I'm doing different videos nowadays. I'm doing Amazon product review videos.
By the way, that's a great strategy to find someone to make videos as well. Reach out to a small creator with a good setup.
How is your relationship with money?
I'm just sitting at my room all day. And then after, like 8 months or so, I was making like a full-time income like that an adult would make in my country.
All right, we live here in Dubai together with our friends Yuri, Hessel, and Ron. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yuri?
Perfect.
Yeah?
Good day so far, for sure.
Hessel?
Yeah, I like it here for a few days.
But how's Dubai so far?
Yeah.
Service is good?
Yeah, everything.
Perfect.
You know yourself.
I love it here. Ron?
Still going strong.
Still going strong.
Everything is good. Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys, you know, we're here visiting Dubai, visiting our friends, and we decided that today's episode is not going to be too much about YouTube per se, but whatever the things are on our minds, business, entrepreneurship, growing as people, mindset, whatever it is that we want to talk about. Boys, how are we feeling today? What do we want to talk about?
Like everything. I think maybe start off with Dubai.
Yeah, let's start with that.
Yeah. Like, is it your first time, by the way, Hessel, in Dubai or not?
Second time.
How do you like it so far, like the second time? Maybe
bring the mic a bit closer, one fist away. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, second time. Last time was about 1.5 years ago. And it's so, like, you would expect Dubai to be so different, like this high building, concrete jungle and everything. From where I'm from, like from a farmland, basically. But still, you come here, people are so nice, everything is perfect, and it kind of feels like home even, and you'll never be able to imagine.
But the question is, like, you had exactly the same, like, it's your first time here as well, and after like one full day you're like, I quite feel at home here. Like, why could that be,
dude? Like, Hessel and I, we come from pretty similar places where we live. Like you said, you know, the buildings are not high, right? It's like very far away from everything. Like, you live in a farm, like you live like in a farm place. I live in like a forest. And so, you know, then you come here and it's the complete 100 degrees opposite. It's like high buildings, right? All this crazy stuff. But what I like about it, you wake up in the morning, right? You open the blinds. You're so high up. You're on a 39th floor.
Yeah,
you can just see the whole city. There's so much life, so much energy. At the same time, your room is quiet. It's nice and controlled, air conditioned, right? You have everything going on. So I think Dubai is very nice for living, for working, for productivity. It can be very easy to get sucked into partying if you're into that a lot.
If you're into that, yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah, if you're into that, it can. But at the same time, we've been talking that it's great for networking, because a lot of people who are in digital marketing, who are in the, you know, online space, they all live here.
Yeah.
So for networking, for recording podcasts, for creating content, this place is just amazing.
Yeah, and let's ask Yuri maybe, because you've been living here for 2 years.
2 years, yeah, coming up to 2 years now.
Yeah.
March 2022, pretty much.
So how has your experience been so far? Because you're getting used to pretty much everything already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it was kind of similar to you guys. I think the first time I visited was October 21 with Dave Nick. He was also at that time setting up his company when he came. Then I visited with him also to kind of explore that, just see how it is, see if that would be a possibility as well. And I think the first time I only stayed 2 or 3 days, and I kind of had the same as you guys are saying right now, that kind of right away it felt good.
Mm.
Feels like welcoming, let's say.
Yeah.
Then I went back in January, so like 2 years ago, with a vacation with family just to see once again. And then I already decided that, I'll move. So just based on coming here 2 times, I was like, yeah, let's do it. And since then, it's been pretty much the same. So not really changed as in that I regret it, or it's been pretty good so far for sure.
But Dubai has gone through a change right now recently, hasn't it?
9%, you mean?
You mean 9%?
It is corporate for tech. Some companies. It's not all of them.
Is it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
As far as I'm aware. So
it's not whatever, legal advice, just say it.
I know, but there's a lot of information, but I'm pretty sure it's just mainland companies.
Mainland
companies. That's what I thought as well.
I heard from a guy I was with on the plane about it.
Yeah.
He said for every company, it's only above like 350 or 380K. So if you don't make
dirhams,
No, like he was talking
dirhams, about
dollars. I'm pretty sure.
No, I think it's dirhams. That's VAT. I don't know. Dirhams. All I know is if you pass the number you said, you have to file for a VAT number.
Mm-hmm.
So file for taxes. I'm not sure if that means you have to pay the 9%, but I'm not sure. I really don't think so.
We were
I said, it's kind of confusing information from all sources, basically.
We were talking with William. He said he was going to have a meeting like on Wednesday today about his optimization of tax and everything. But we've opened a company now in Sharjah. We're now in the process of opening a company. It's surprisingly easy and straightforward, and like it's very welcoming.
Yeah, but you need to watch out though, because you have a lot of agencies that take their own margin. Yeah. Like we do it straight with the government.
We have a great contact.
Yeah,
we
thanks Moritz, by the way, shout out.
Yeah, we have, like, he gave us a contact directly, a government worker who works for the government, and his like job is to basically get new entrepreneurs and businesses started. So we are like in charge of now.
We had like the meeting with him, and he presented the pricing, and we're like, he was saying like there's no margin at all. We were like, okay, please tell us straight up, like, how do you make your money? And he's like, I just work here for the government.
So how much you pay to open it?
It depends on like how many visas you wanted. If I remember correctly, one visa with a setup was 5K. Two visas with a setup was 8K, right? 7K.
No,
we're talking dollars or dirhams?
Well, 20K
I sent 20,000 dirham.
Mm-hmm.
For 5K. So 5,500 euros.
For the whole setup.
Yeah.
For the whole setup and two visas. So visas or residencies, what is it called? Like, I think residencies. Yeah,
for
like,
2 years.
Yeah. For 1 year.
No, business license for 1 year.
Yeah.
Visa for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then you need to extend it. I think that was like $900 for two more years.
Yeah.
So it's pretty affordable.
At what point do you think for people watching, listening, it makes sense to start considering move to Dubai? Yeah, because I was talking to Mihai, the guy we used to have on Discord. I'm still in contact with him, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm like, I'm working now, but I'm thinking about also going, like, moving there at some point. So what do you think from your experience is a good, like, I'd want, like, income point, or what do you think?
I would say around 10K, I guess.
10K,
I
mean, per month.
It really depends. Like, you can spend as much money as you want, obviously. Like, you can run it up like crazy, or you can keep it pretty chill. That really depends, like, rent, where you're gonna live, where you're gonna stay, etc. That really makes the main difference. But I would say 10K profit each month, then you'll be fine. And the best thing is, like, if you're kind of sure that's predictable, at least, then you won't get any problems. But let's say 1 month could be 10K, then could be 2K only, then 14, whatever business you're doing, right? Then I would just wait for it to be predictable, where you got like a good amount stacked up at first.
Yeah, I think the same.
So let me ask you guys this question. What do you think is the best way? Because this is something that people love to watch on YouTube. The best way for beginners, the fastest, quickest, easiest way to make 10K from as a complete beginner. Imagine a person, he knows how to search on Google. He knows how to scroll on Instagram, right? Zero experience with online. Doesn't have Stripe, doesn't have anything. Never created content, but he's like, all right, online. That's right. I want to go there. I want to make money on the internet. What do you think from your perspective? Easiest, simplest, quickest way from zero to 10K? Huh? Quickest way in 2024. Yes.
I think you should first look at yourself, like, what kind of skills you have. Because in the end, if you want to build a business, you need to offer some sort of value, I think. So if you don't have any skills yourself, maybe develop a skill first that you also enjoy. Then maybe make an agency around it. Of course, if you have maybe already a 9-to-5 job and you have some money saved up, you can start with a business like YouTube Automation and hire freelancers to do the dirty work for you. And then over time, like, especially with the search strategy, you will get views guaranteed almost if you do it right. Same with the revenue. And then while you're working your 9-to-5 job, like, within 1 or 2 years, you're almost guaranteed that you're able to replace your 3-to-5K income a month through search content if you do it right. So that could be a strategy.
So what I'm hearing is an agency.
Yeah, if you have like a skill, like,
what kind of skill?
Yeah, it depends. Copywriting, maybe. Maybe you know a lot about marketing.
I think
social, like, advertising.
Those two are, of course, they work, but pretty much everyone does that.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if you guys get the DMs, like, but it's always, I get like dozens of emails per day now.
Yeah.
Because YouTube is picking up from editors or the most basic level thing that they come across, they'll start doing that.
Yeah, so that's right.
Like, the thing you said, for sure, they work. But probably if you do go down that route, you got to find like little specific, like, something within that.
You need to niche down. Yeah, like, maybe you go to B2B, you only focus on, like, certain shops. Like, like niche down within a niche and become very good at that you're like maybe one of the few that are specialized in that niche.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, first maybe develop a skill. And if it's just about money, make sure you have a stable income from a job and start investing it in, I would do like a YouTube business because I have experience with it, but it will take, like, it's not a quick, like, it maybe will take 1 or 2 years, but that's still quick.
What do you think?
Well, that was what I was about to say with, like, quickest. That's an important thing. If you want to make 10K a month in 2024 now, before the end of it, like, it's quite unlikely that you're gonna hit that with, like, the traditional way of doing YouTube search. So, like, Yuri and me, we're both making the majority of our money with like search
videos,
ad revenue, or like anything related to that. But like, I'm in it since 2020, he's since 2019, quite a long time ago that we started. So I think it's one of the easiest and best ways to make money online. It's very close to investing. Like you just put money into your videos and it can compound over time, but it takes time. You will not hit that within a year.
It's not the fastest.
No.
Because it could though. Like I did
within
it within
a year. It's possible. 3K, but 10K?
Yeah, I did it within a year, but it's...
But you started way back.
A different time, yeah.
Yeah.
Like maybe it was easier. Mm-hmm. I kind of started right before lockdown.
Yeah.
So then a lot of people in that period, they started downloading TikTok and there was all those topics.
There was a big surge in traffic when the COVID happened.
Exactly.
So what do you think now though, 2024? The fastest, easiest?
I kind of agree with Ron. Like I would say agency, like the whole thing Iman Gadzi is promoting or talking about. I would say it's one of the most simple / best ways to do it because you don't really have to spend money up front.
But what do you
like
mean?
That.
Like, okay, bring me up
agency
to speed.
Agency model, simply selling a service online to people.
You need to have
somewhere
a skill
else
first.
In the world. Yeah, probably.
What kind of services can you sell?
Like everything is related to online. Like the
what is everything, you guys?
Everything. Copywriting, marketing, social advertising. You can even do, I don't know, photography stuff. I don't know. Like everything, as long as it's something that a company needs. I think it's like packaging of products, like
I think
design.
Right now, if because a lot of more, like yesterday in the chat, you sent a video from the guy getting raw reality of making
Sander Stage
500 grand. Like, I mean, that guy obviously already has a big business. Then he's doing YouTube on the side. That's still like one of those younger guys. So he kind of figures out, okay, this and this works. But I also think there's a lot of people that already have a real business, let's say, that are starting to build their personal brand, but they're not quite sure what is a good YouTube thumbnail, how do I make the script, etc. I would say a service where you basically become the person behind that person. So you come up with the video titles, ideas, whatever, scripting, thumbnails, video. You basically run the whole thing for that person, allowing him to, or her to start that personal brand.
Yeah,
I think if you find people and you provide a good service in that thing and they already have a good business, they don't mind paying whatever amount.
By the way, you guys, like just a quick piece of advice, if you're going to be reaching out, right? And this, I'm talking from my experience, maybe you can relate.
Mm-hmm.
If you just see like in your DM and a request, just like a message, hey, George, saw your video, great content. By the way, I'm a this and this and that. Do you need help with this?
Mm-hmm.
I don't reply to that, right? It's just copy, paste. Like I don't even bother looking at your portfolio.
Yeah.
Sometimes, very rarely, I get a message with a personalized like Loom video, for example, you know? So the piece of advice here, I think, or if I'd be doing this, put more effort into reaching out to every single individual. Like really think about who it is that you would love to work and put as much effort into reaching out. Like, of course, your number of reach outs is going to be less, but because you put so much more effort into it, the likelihood that that person is going to rip, like I can bet like, you know, if I'd be reaching out to you and I put like together very something, you know, very special, most likely you'd be like, wow, this guy really took the time, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or plus the main thing that they send is just, I make good thumbnails or I can help you with thumbnails, but I've yet to see someone send a Loom or just actually send me a thumbnail improved based on my real videos. They just say, I make thumbnails. And what you said, like I have a friend that actually did that. So I think 3-4 months ago, he was doing the first approach that we're talking about. So just cold outreach, just sending emails and go based on volume. Then he quit that for a bit. And then like 1 month, 2 months later, he was very specific, made those Loom videos, made an entire plan based on the service he was providing on how that would help out that person. He sent out 5 emails. He closed 3 of them.
Bam.
That's a high
conversion. And there he
went. But I think the podcast we have with Samuli, like the personal trainer making like a lot of money each month, his advice, when you're just starting out, just offer your service for free, deliver great value, collect testimonials, make case studies, and then do reach out. You have like an actual portfolio also to show people.
Yep. And it will be a proof to yourself in the first place as well. Like, does your thing work or not? Like, if you want to help people lose weight or gain muscle, offer it for free.
Yeah.
First, see if your strategies and things work. And if they do, and people actually get results, like this is, it's a marathon. It's not a race. Like I know, you know, people starting out, they're like, God damn, I want to be quick.
Yeah.
But you're better off taking 3 to 6 months working with someone for free, delivering actual results. And then when you do, you ask for a testimonial and then you use that testimonial. You can boost a post on Instagram, for example, at $5 per day. You're spending $150 a month, right? And then you're already more likely to attract people. People are gonna like your like stuff, and you know, then you can reach out to them. Hey, da 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 da. This is what we've done, and it's all like honest, yeah, kind of straight to the point. I think the problem is that people want it too quick.
Yeah,
people want it too fast.
I just wanted to say you need to have realistic expectations. So what are those realistic expectations? Like, how long should someone, like your entrepreneurial journey, that's a nice word, is about 7 years or 6 years before you started to get real results, right?
And I still suck.
Yeah, of course.
7 years
you
in,
learn every
bro.
Day. You learn every day. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So like, if you're scrolling TikTok and you're getting hit with dopamine every 3 seconds.
Yeah, then you're not going to
start.
You're
fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't realize how long things take.
I think that's one of the problems. Like, when you start and then you continue to watch, like, there's so many guys like us and whatever, just all those people, this person says this business, that person says this. If you continue to watch it, you're going to be feeling like you're not getting stuff done.
Yeah.
And then it will feel slow. You'll get impatient and you'll start doing different things that don't lead to the right outcome. Mm. I think it's better just choose a business, make a plan, execute, and just stop watching even like this stuff or just videos in general and just execute and then see what happens.
Yeah.
Just make it work. Like with the Tai Lopez seminar, we went Sunday. Like, so many people were presenting different strategies to grow your business. And it all comes down to like everything works as long as you put the time and effort in it and have the focus on the thing you're doing. So I think that's a really good advice you said there. Yeah,
yeah, I think so too.
You need to slow down as well. We live in this really fast environment that everything, you know, you're used to, hits a button, taxi comes in 1 minute. Hits a button, food arrives in 15 minutes. Hits a button, everything comes. But in real life, if you look at nature, like, I think one of the best things people can do is grow a plant. No, I'm serious. Yeah,
go ahead.
If you grow a plant, you will realize
Or have a kid. It also takes a lot of
how slow time. Things actually grow in real life. Like, you can see that when you plant that little seed, like, take a lemon. Take the lemon seed and put it into the ground, water it, and put it under a lamp. Dude, that thing will take forever to grow.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing that people can do actually is plant a lemon seed and then start your business. And then your goal, I would say this, your goal, your business should replace your income or maybe make you a lot of money as soon as you can get the first lemon from your lemon tree.
Yeah.
That would be ages.
But it matters on which plant you pick. Some probably grow quicker.
Some plants grow quicker.
Maybe you can do a cheat code. Get a very quick one and you have your business. Let's go.
No, but that's just kind of like a reference to that, you know, things in life take a lot longer than we are now accustomed to. Yeah. We were in an elevator the other day.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh my God. Dude, it's crazy. We were in an elevator and Sparkle Tower is going up to our floor and there a family walks in. Mom, dad, older brother and a younger sister, a young boy and an older sister. And the girl, the young girl, she's like maybe 4 or 5. She's on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
She's not on her phone. She's on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And the speed at her scrolling is like this. Zoom, zoom, zoom. And Ron and I were just like, whoa. Yeah. And then dad tries to take the phone away from her. She's like, nah! Turns around and just like zoom, zoom.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
I think that's not even uncommon these days or... It's not even crazy.
Dude, my kids are not going to...
I know for sure, but...
100%.
I see so many, like, if you go for dinner, there's always people just, you know, the parents are eating, the kid is on the iPad, just...
Yeah. But it's easy for the parents, though.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy. That's
if you do that from a young age, can that, like, completely destroy your...
dopamine?
Yeah, your dopamine.
For sure.
Like, can it, like, permanently destroy your levels?
I don't think...
You can reset it, right? Like,
yeah, well, there's something like with dopamine detox to reset your levels. But if you do it from a young age, can you get, like, completely used to it?
Mm-hmm. But I think it's not about dopamine per se. I think it's about, like, your ability to focus for a long time. Because if you get stimulated, like, very fast and you can only focus for, like, 2-3 seconds, you know, before you, like, need to have a new, like, kind of stimuli, that's the longest you can do. I think the best way to reset that is to try to read.
Yeah.
Right after the military, I used to spend like 8 hours reading every day.
8 hours?
8 hours every day.
That's a lot.
God damn it. Else to do?
Yeah. No, literally after the military, I thought to myself, okay, what's the best use of my time? I'll just study. And I just surround myself with like 5-6 books.
Mm-hmm.
7-8 books, and I just sit the whole day, wake up, have a little lunch, have a little food, and then I just sit down and I just read one book, put it aside, another book,
But how is your guys' like concentration span? Because I sometimes when I try to watch a movie and I can already see it's like two and a half hours.
Mm-hmm. You want to pull out your phone.
I at least pull it out like two, three, four times in a movie at least. Mm. Well, if I remember like back in the day, like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, I was really looking forward to watch a movie and just be sucked in that new world, you know? Mm. I have it less now. I don't know about you guys, but...
Yeah, me too.
Depends on the thing. Like for me, movies, not really like movies, but I start reading books more. It's getting easier. But also now we're talking about like our attention span, TikTok and everything. I feel like YouTube is kind of transitioning into more raw content as well. We've seen it with that guy that uploaded how I would make 10K a month, or like the guy you guys are working with, but also fitness guys like Sam Sulek, who uploads just 45 minute videos, just filming himself. And people watch it, the entire thing. So that's like an interesting thing that kind of...
What is it about this whole raw content thing that we're seeing now on YouTube pop off?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like the over-stimulated videos, you're like, you're done watching them and you're like, what did I watch? Like, there's no soul to it, let's say.
Okay.
I think that's kind of it. And if you're watching those raw videos, it's like you're just with that person or you think directly taking their message. I feel like a message is more clear or whatever they're trying to bring across versus those crazy edits or just stuff like that.
Do you think that's something that people can capitalize on in the upcoming year? Because, you know, people might look at someone like Iman Gadzi and they're like, okay, well, I won't be able to make a video like that. That's like, oh, like the production there is crazy, right? It's like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
They also make money on the back end, not off YouTube itself.
Yeah, like $100,000. But then you see people like, you know, Sander Stage or who else was it?
You also see a lot of other videos pop up, at least in my feed. Like some guy is just working at a restaurant, like preparing breads or sandwiches every day. And he just has a cam here.
Yeah, but I feel that's
also like super raw. And like it has millions of views. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I feel like that's probably more like hit or miss type thing. You said, by the way, that it was a hit or miss with that video when I sent it. I can't remember which video I sent you.
It was, I think, the one about the guy was sitting and there were people in the background. Was like
the life
of making, the reality of making 500K a month.
The raw truth of making 500,000 a month.
That was the one you sent yesterday?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was the same.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's getting so many views. Like, I saw it first.
It was at 6K per hour when you sent it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gaining traction like crazy.
No, but what I mean with like hit or miss is like, let's say you're like, oh, this is great. I'm going to make a similar thing. So you're gonna sit there as well, just gonna talk. I'm pretty confident if I would do it, like it would get no views, maybe 100 or something, not more than I usually get now on the channel. So the little things really make a difference because of that other guy as well. He had like the palm on the background and these things Rolex, do really make a difference.
Yeah. So not anyone could do that right away. And you have to have something that would be
and
appealing.
The value. You need to be able to deliver value in the video. Yeah. That's why people keep watching and the retention goes up.
I think you can pull that off if you actually have a track record.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you have something to
you can pull that off easily.
Who knows, but
sit down.
I guess we'll have to test
it. All right, this is the easiest way.
But still, like those little things like you said, like William, he's wearing a Rolex white tee.
The ClickFunnels
really pops out. Has JBR in the background here in Dubai. I mean,
yeah.
That versus you sitting in front of like a brick and mortar
wall. Right, green screen.
It's much different, right?
Yeah. Can do everything.
That's a good
I'm now in Dubai, now in New York. Click. Let's go.
They'll make it easy.
Yeah, but I think it's about value and a track record.
Yeah.
Like to know, like because also with William, he doesn't script anything, so it's fully organic. To do that, you just need to be able to talk about of your own experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People find it probably very interesting how someone became so successful and keep watching. And yeah, he's doing really well.
Yeah, 100% comes down to value. Like if you have something valuable to talk, you don't need high production, you know? Obviously with the high production, like Iman Gadzi style video, you're attracting a much broader market.
Same with the courses, by the way.
Like, and a different audience as well.
Different audience.
That's mainly it.
B2B. But like, for example, like with courses, you might think like when you need to create a course, you need to do high quality editing, very good storytelling, and I don't know, take a lot of time. But like with the course we are following right now, it's a Word document with text and a voiceover. And I can probably say it. I don't know, we'll leave it out.
Swear, Ron.
But it's a really amazing content because it's only value. So when you're making a course, like it's just about the delivery.
Yeah, he doesn't even have his face there. It's not like even a loom. Mm-hmm. It's literally just like a Word doc and Google Docs.
And you're still happy with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's still like, hey guys, Will here. Mm-hmm. And then he just starts reading out and like talking over it. And he like kind of like,
And that was the $3,000 one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's really good.
Well, free promotion here.
Yeah, let's William.
Yeah. That's really good.
But yeah, what else is on your mind?
Hey, quick interruption. Do you want to learn how to make $5,000 per month on YouTube without showing your face or making any of the videos yourself? Well, if that's the case, I've put together a free video training where I show you step-by-step on how I make $5,000 per month so you can replicate it and do exactly the same. Click the first link down in the description of this episode and check it out. All right, back to the podcast.
We've talked about this. We've talked about the quickest way to 10K, right? What could be interesting for people watching?
It depends.
Very promising answer.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I don't know what's interesting for people. Like, we have a lot of people that want to make money online that are right now in a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we can go back to the first moments when entrepreneurship came in your guy's life.
I had some questions that I wrote from Samuli today when we were sitting at the thing where we were explaining about the YouTube part. Yeah, so basically, we after the pod today, we went to the cafe, had some lunch, and then we were explaining to Samuli what we do, and he doesn't know anything about like YouTube automation, anything like that. So he started asking questions.
Yeah.
And I pulled out my phone and I just typed in a couple of questions. So how did you find out about YouTube automation?
I think Hassel found out through me, right?
Yeah, me as well.
Yeah, that was
me too.
As well, yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, boost my ego goes in.
Oh, yeah.
That's
how did you find out about YouTube automation?
I mean, I did YouTube before YouTube automation. So I think when I was a kid, like 13 years old, I was making videos myself, and then I quit. And then like when I was 18 or so, I started doing it again after I finished high school. Mm. So I was just doing YouTube personally. Then started making videos, had one channel, met another guy, Bradley. He then told me about the YouTube search thing. And that's when I started YouTube search. Just did that myself. So made all the videos myself.
Mm.
Worked out great, had revenue already. And then I think it was the other guy, Chase Namek. Classic.
Damn. He's probably not around anymore.
I'm not sure. He was like a YouTube automation guru?
He was the first guy that was posting about it. I'm not sure if he made up the name. I'm not sure about that. But he was like classic American Instagram guru, like
perfect.
like no information at all, just screenshot, crazy car, like typical thing.
You didn't buy any courses, did you?
No.
Okay. No. Bradley kind of put you on the thing, right?
Yes. YouTube search. Yes.
About YouTube search.
And then that guy was just, I think YouTube automation, I kind of first noticed it from that guy. Mm. And then that's kind of when that thing started blowing up. So yeah, from there on, I figured out it was a thing that you could outsource stuff for your YouTube channel. As in actual content. Like before, I never had that FOD.
Right.
So that's slowly when I started
changing. How was that moment? You were probably like, whoa, I can get other people.
I don't really remember that, but I was like, I never had thought about that before.
Right.
So I was more curious whether it would actually work and whether people would still watch the videos and if they wouldn't strike me because they made the video.
But it saved you a lot of time though.
Thoughts.
Because you were filming so much yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Like seeing videos that you outsourced rank probably was an amazing feeling, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I was spending like 10, well, not obviously working all the time, but I started work at like 8 a.m. and I finished around 8 p.m. in that year.
That's a long
and
work
I was
day.
Just I was doing either 8 or 16 videos, recording them myself in a day. So it would be 8, 16, 8, 16, 8, etc.
Why?
I have no idea. That was a number. I think I outsourced the editing by then.
But why 8 and the other day 16?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't recall why. Why was that? I think finding the keywords. I don't know why I didn't do, let's say, the same number twice, 8 and 8.
What did your mom think about it?
About what?
About you making videos in your room. Did she know about it?
In the beginning, I was kind of hiding it because, you know, like when I started, it was kind of weird, you know? Like now, like the cool thing. When I started, it was weird. So I was kind of hiding it.
How? And you're in your room at your parents' house, right? They're like, Yuri, what are you doing? And they're just, hearing from like, me, how to delete.
Just some random stuff. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she heard, probably she knew, right? But in my mind, the door was closed. If she never asked about it, she didn't know, let's say.
Yeah. Right,
probably,
yeah.
Like, could hear or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not like I was hiding it like crazy or whatever. Like, she already knew, of course, when I was doing the videos when I was a kid.
Mm.
But that was outside, like, recording when I was
But she was supportive, you would say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, to her, it's just weird, right? Different generation.
Yeah.
So I finish high school. I'm just sitting at my room all day. And then after, what, like 8 months or so, I was making like a full-time income like that an adult would make in my country.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, where is that money coming from? You know?
Really?
Like, yeah, of course. Like, I just wake up, I go downstairs, I eat some breakfast, I go back up, the whole day just sitting in that room. And then there's like a full-time income. Like, that's weird, right?
And it's growing.
Different generations as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I when I was like 3K maybe. Like I said, there's like a full-time income in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, yeah,
roughly.
It is.
So I said I had the goal to get to 10K and they were like, What? Like, it's impossible, you know?
So, it was the same for Hessel, right? Like, you started also recording yourself, the videos?
Hessel messaged me with his, like, burner Facebook account to my burner Facebook account. that's how we started.
It was interesting because I already played around a bit with other business models. Didn't really work.
Yeah.
And I knew this guy. I was like, Yuri Hofway.
Old channel name, yeah.
And, like, he was clearly Dutch, like, with this accent and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, a poster on the wall and everything. And then he made a video about his new project of starting YouTube search. And then I was like, okay, let's message this guy. And the video had like 300 views, maybe 400, so didn't went viral at all. And then I started that by also making the videos myself. I think it took me about 8 months then to get monetized. And in that time, I really saw him growing because we had contact over WhatsApp. That's mm-hmm. really in 2020 when you went to like 8-10K a month with the main channel that you were like mm-hmm. grinding.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I got into it. And actually, as far as like parents and everything and being supportive, I was still in high school. You were not. You're like 4 years older than me. With my parents, it's always been like, when I start something, it's like, what are you doing? No, please don't, please don't, please don't. But then as time passes, it's like they get more comfortable. And right now, like, I think the top of the iceberg has been that I've been to Russia without telling them.
Oh,
I can do like pretty much anything without them thinking, oh, what's he doing?
Hold up, people are like, what?
Yeah, okay. But you get what I mean.
Yeah, tell us the story. Tell us the story.
What story?
Tell us the story of how you went to Russia with my dad.
Oh yeah, I went to Russia with George's dad. Yeah, okay. That's like the side story where I was in Finland. It's like, since like 6 months ago, Dutch citizens can go to Russia with an e-visa. And I was already quite interested in the country, of course. I had a lot of Russian friends, including you and your dad.
Yeah.
And then your dad had the plan to go there while I was in Finland. He was like, come, come, come. And I applied for...
And by the way, my dad doesn't really speak English.
Oh, no.
At all. He spoke Finnish to Hessel, and Hessel doesn't speak Finnish. And Hessel spoke English back to my dad. So it was great communication.
Yeah, was it by bike?
Well, the plan was to go by bike, but then...
to cross the border by bike.
So, well, we didn't do that because another guy, Kirill, friend of us, he also went, so we could go by car. That's pretty much...
How was St. Petersburg?
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, beautiful city.
Chinese cars. Beautiful, beautiful scenery.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah, but the women were...
Well, don't speak English.
Yeah, that's why.
Really going off topic, but if we want to talk about that,
we can talk about anything.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Your dad, he introduced me to basically every single woman there, like the waiter and everything, the waitress.
But he knew those women or just
of random? Course not.
Just random.
Of course.
Just every random woman.
And your father is like 70.
My dad is 70.
Yeah.
70. He's the biggest player in town, bro.
If you know George, like George's dad is like Crazy George.
That said a lot because George is crazy already.
Yeah, yeah. So he introduced me to every girl. He sounds like, what's your name? And then, this is Hessel. He's from Netherlands. And then I asked, like, do you speak English? And they were all like, no, so. And then, I was like, okay, they're not interested or something. But then later on, a girl said, like, they are just ashamed of themselves because they don't speak English.
Exactly. Oh, they're definitely interested in a foreigner. They just can't communicate with you.
Right.
At all. So you found out about YouTube automation by Googling? Googling?
I looked it up on YouTube, so I came across Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
We actually, 2 years ago, we met here in Dubai.
Yeah.
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 Because I was starting out with the browse features, you know, so when you get recommended to an audience, so the homepage.
How to make $575 per hour sleeping.
Something like
you
that.
Did that
it was in a money-making online niche.
Really?
Started out, yeah. So, but I came from e-commerce and I was really like, let's try the YouTube thing because it's all digital. So yeah, I started 2 years ago, then met Yuri and then slowly transitioned to search because yeah, browse basically is really, really difficult and it costs a lot of money. So I'm happy I made that switch and I'm really happy to make a choice because I spent 1 to 2 hours a week on managing the team and the channel runs, it grows. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy about the choice.
Yeah. How much do you guys work nowadays per week?
I still work all the time, but not specifically just on those channels. Okay. For those channels, I would say 3 hours a week, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
Because you can find those keywords like pretty quickly.
That's what Ron says as well. Like once you start doing it, it's not like you're going to find one keyword per hour. Like, okay, it might take you like 30, 40 minutes like you taught me, you know, to get into it. But once you're getting into it, it's like, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
But it's also like maybe when you're starting out, you're more like, is this keyword going to work or not? And like when you're deeper in the process, you're like, this video will rank. We'll see eventually. Like you did your research, you did your part. And it's easier to throw money at it because the business has already proved itself to work. That's how I see it. So then it becomes easier and easier to make the selection on the keywords, basically.
Yeah. I'm doing different videos nowadays. I'm doing Amazon product review videos.
Let's talk about
only those ones.
I'm only doing that. Yeah.
I see.
I bought a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
I have a camera. Sitting there in my room, in my little corner. I have Jonah Bell from Philippines make the scripts. She uploads them to the management sheets. I download them. Put them to my teleprompter. I have a little remote in my hand. Press the button. In this video, I'm going to review the best vacuum suckers there are on the market.
Nice. Those cleaners with suckers. Let's go.
Dust sucker. That's what we call it nowadays. Yeah. We don't call them vacuums anymore. We call them dust suckers because that's how they call them Dutch. Anyway, and then I just record audio, record a video, sync, export, upload to Drive, link it to my guy Wasim. Shout out Wasim.
Editor.
I pay him $10 for one edit.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I paid...
Also the two-minute videos.
The two-minute videos?
Yeah.
My videos are now like at least 4 minutes.
The one you just told me to look up like an hour ago was 2 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, it makes me like an older one because I was playing around with the different scripts. Mm-hmm. But like I tried editing it myself like the first time I did those videos. Dude, it takes a while.
Course.
Because for like you might be thinking, oh, okay, there's not so many cuts because you're reading from teleprompter. Sure, that's not. But like downloading the footage, because it's not just me talking, it's like there's B-roll, right? And B-roll takes a while to download. First find it and then like download it and then upload it and make it all good. So I was like, okay, how much do you want per video? He's like $10.
So he's also finding all the clips.
Oh, he's doing everything.
I see.
So because it also, you have to be careful with copyright. You can't take videos from YouTube. You know, you have to be careful. Like
you can from the OG channel, from the company.
Yeah, yeah. You can take clips from the company that made the...
Yeah, the product.
The advertisement product.
Upload the... Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So those you can't take, right? Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you have to be careful. But anyway, I pay him $10. I pay, I don't know, 60 cents maybe per thumbnail. Ali, same guy who makes videos for Alexei, our Serbian friend. It's all very interrelated.
Yeah.
And then Jonah Bell making the scripts and then I upload them myself. It's all very like, it's semi-automated, semi-not. I'm still doing the recordings myself. The reason I don't want to outsource recordings right now is because it's going to be pretty expensive to get the same quality as I'm doing because I will need to basically get a, like, I have a small creator from Canada, Bilal.
Student?
No, not a student. I found him on Upwork. He has like a couple of thousand subscribers on YouTube. He has good equipment, good mic, good camera and everything.
By the way, that's a great strategy to find someone to make videos as well. Reach out to a small creator with a good setup. Ask them if they want to make money per video and have them film everything.
Yeah. But before I do that, like it's not even the money part. It's more the part about like knowing how much my video is going to earn me over the lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like...
You will easily make $10 back. Easily.
If $10 ranks. For edit, you got to calculate how much the recording part is going to be.
What do you mean? It's free. You make it yourself.
I make it myself. I'm talking about if I outsource everything.
Oh,
if I automate.
Yeah, true.
If I get another creator and I pay him, let's say $10 per video recording, right? Because I want to get like a good accent. I don't want to get someone from a third world country. I want to get someone from a, you know, with a proper accent, right? So then... That's going to cost minimum $10 per video.
Yeah,
so that already puts me at about, give or take, $20, $25 per video, right? So if I see that, you know, on average, my videos make more than $25 in what time span, you know, then of course it's not a question. I don't want to do the dirty work myself all the time. And at one point, it's also not going to make any sense to do that as well.
Yeah. And what's the RPM on those kind of videos?
I know it's pretty low. It's two, low.
Two RPM?
I think anywhere from 1 to 4, classic. It depends. It depends on the, of course, the price of the product, right? Because if it's a water bottle, it's going to be like $1. I can tell you that. But if it's an espresso machine, it's probably going to be higher because the product costs.
It can get a lot of views though. Like the one you outranked had like 2 million views on that specific keyword.
Yeah, I outranked best espresso machine on the $2,000. The guy has 1.8 million views or something.
2.8, yeah.
2.8
million. I just saw, yeah.
2.8 million
views. But the question
views.
If it's search or no.
That's the question.
I wonder if it's 2.8 million search.
Yeah, I think.
I wonder,
still, yeah. At least 2.8 million are interested.
To like a new audience? If you, like... It's random to push like best espresso machines to a new audience, like if you're not into the market, right?
But the good thing is that I have proof of concept that I'm getting commissions from Amazon.
Oh.
The products that I'm talking about in the videos and those videos that are starting to rank, I'm starting to sell those products on Amazon and plus some random ones like a handheld sewing machine or something else. Like I didn't make a video about that. But basically like the videos work, they rank. They're getting commissions from Amazon. On average, it's about like $1 per sale. So it's not much. So the question is, how do you get to, you know, 1,000 sales per day, right? How many videos do you need to post?
Volume, yeah.
Yeah, volume just needs to basically just work, post. I'm not too worried about that. You know, I'm also thinking about how my time is better well spent. That's, I think, an ongoing question. You know, what's the best use of your time? What do you guys think? Let's talk about what's the best use of time for you guys?
In
right
general,
now.
Right or now,
yeah,
personally.
Yeah, best use of time.
For me, like, I'm outsourcing everything already because I want to. Basically, like the past couple of years, like I still have my e-commerce company right now, but I'm selling it at the moment. At that moment, like when I had the e-commerce company, I was really busy with like daily tasks. So, like talking with the suppliers, getting new inventory, doing the payments, doing a promotion on Amazon, blah, blah. It's very like daily, boring work, you know? And I really want to transition now to more a strategic view. Like, okay, what kind of decision can I make to have the most leverage on the long term? Like what kind of business do I want to be in, basically? Like the quote from Warren Buffett, I'm sure you know it, like with the boat, which boat you row in.
Yeah.
I saw like with the e-commerce business, I was like after 4 years, like there were some limitations because you need a lot of capital if you have like physical inventory. I was like, I'm in the wrong boat. So that's when I started with YouTube. And now I have that vehicle going for me. I want to, now my use of my time is less of these daily tasks. They're still there. Like you still need to do some emails and reach out to the team and that kind of stuff. But I also want to plan in some time to also think about like, okay, what am I doing right now in my life? Am I still on track with my goals?
Mm.
So that like, yeah, it's a little bit vague maybe, but like do a little bit more helicopter view on my daily.
What about you, Hassel?
Well, for me, I'm still having a lot of like daily tasks that I do every day, but obviously with search, like outsourcing as much as possible, video creation. And I have a manager who's like really good. So
does he manage your team?
Yeah, basically everything. The only thing I do is add the keywords in the tool. He then makes the report of all the videos that have been uploaded that have not been uploaded because it couldn't be made or whatever. The only thing that that I then need to do besides that is pay him. He sends like a sheet of what's gonna be what we're gonna upload this
month.
Pay
him per video or per month?
I pay him a salary, and then the videos are fixed price, and he then distributes that money over all the other freelancers.
That's what. And how many freelancers do you have under him?
I really don't know, because sometimes some like
he finds them,
yeah, and then he finds new ones, and I really don't do anything there.
As long as it's good, it's good.
Yeah. By the way, good takeaway for you probably.
No, I don't know. I already have a manager, but I'm doing only the payments myself. That's the only difference.
To everyone?
Yeah, but it's like bi-weekly. Or sometimes monthly, so sometimes monthly, so
well,
it's
that's much.
Yeah.
What about you, Yuri? How was time well spent?
I think for me, the best thing to do now is to go be your own personal channel, and then not just do YouTube search, because it's not that big of a, you know, like who really cares? Like it's not so many people, so probably there my time is worth the most. if I do it correctly.
Personal branding.
Yes, for
like
sure.
More broad or still within YouTube automation?
Kind of debating that, but definitely more broad because there's like 10 YouTube automation videos you can make and then you've got all of them unless you keep doing like either repeat them, but then like slightly different or just specific.
That's boring maybe as
like,
well.
Yeah, specific ways or strategies, but those will not get that many views. So got to go a little bit more broad. Mm. How exactly I'll do that, we'll figure it out. But in terms of where my time is worth the most or have the highest impact, I think it's there right now.
Yeah. I feel like this question, it's about personal branding, creating videos that can attract a broader audience, you know, selling courses online, you know, selling online coaching. That's a very attractive, lucrative thing because, you know, how long it will take for you to upload search videos and get to 5K per month, or how long it will take for you to, let's say, you know, sell someone on a $5,000 mentorship or coaching. You know, if you know that the value is there, right? Because what I feel a lot of people struggle with is it's this relationship with money, right? It's this relationship with like, okay, do I really deserve someone getting like selling some, like getting 5,000? Like, do I really deserve that? But if you know that your knowledge can transform someone's life and like, you know, a piece of advice that you can do, if they apply it, that's a thing. Like, we were talking about it as well. Remember last year when we went to Bali? You were telling me like when you stayed home and you were like, George, I'm struggling so much with this. Or like you had some kind of like a down moment, you know? And so basically it's, I don't know, it's, let's talk about a relationship with money. That's an interesting thing. How is your relationship with money?
Yeah, mine is good. Like, yeah, how? Like I like money. I see it as energy. Like you can do a lot of stuff with it. You can create a lot of freedom with it. It's basically your coin to freedom, you know? Like if you have
fuel units.
Fuel, yeah, exactly. Like you need it in the current system that in the world.
Do you have limiting beliefs when it comes to money?
Of course.
What are your limiting beliefs?
You don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
You probably don't know. The thing is, if I compare it to 1 year ago, I already broke some of these limited beliefs. But like the amount of money I now have in my mind what I could earn, for example, is probably a lot lower than over 1 year. So I think it will increase over time. But you need to do your best to find people around you that break those limited beliefs around money or business or anything. So I think it will evolve over time because the amount of money you will have probably grow if you do it the right way. So you get used to that again. And it's like a process.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, I agree. It's probably the ones that you're not aware of that are the biggest ones, right?
That's the quote. That's again. The trick. Yeah.
The quote from...
Can I say it again?
Yeah, of course.
How much is not knowing what you don't know is costing you?
That's William, or no?
Yeah. Let that sink in. Imagine I'm holding a sink. No, but
I think it's Hormozy actually that
could be.
That. I'm pretty sure it's Hormozy.
He ignores that he talked.
Yeah,
about.
That's pretty much.
And he took that from someone else.
Yeah, of course.
Nothing
it's all, always.
But George, what about yours?
My limiting beliefs about money. Yeah, it's hard because for a long time, and I'm still struggling with it as well. It's like. You know, do I deserve to get paid that much? You know, why would anyone, you know, give me that? Like, why would anyone give me money for that? Like, it's very complicated. You know, it's a psychology and it's like...
But where do you think it's coming from? Like, don't you value yourself as high yet? Like, what's the cause?
I think you learn to value yourself over time.
Yeah, and I think you will learn it more and more once you talk to more people and you're basically trying to find your spot in the market.
Yeah.
And once people have paid you for your service and they're happy... Do you know, okay, I can ask this and people actually value my service as well. I get more and more comfortable.
When we were at the seminar, I asked Ty, I'm like, Ty, you were talking about how our conscious mind like distorts the perception of who we are, right? Of like what we're good at. So how do we, you know, learn about ourselves? And he said that Nietzsche, the philosopher, has cracked that code back in the day. And he said that you only learn about yourself through friends and enemies, right? And that makes a lot of sense. The only way you can learn about yourself is when you are contrasting, when you're in relationship with other people. Oh, this person is like that, but I'm not like that, you know? So as I surround myself with more different people, you know, then I learn more about, okay, where's my value in the market? How? And I always try to like get better as well. You know, I develop, I learn books, I try to surround myself with people who are already doing well. And through that evolution of like getting better as a person, as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, whatever, then I get more confidence in my ability to help other people as well. What we were talking earlier today with Samuli.
Yeah.
And as that progresses, I become more comfortable with saying, yeah, to work with me, it costs $5,000. Yeah, to work with me, it costs $10,000, because I know that the value that I can deliver, you know, is there. The knowledge, the advice, it's also the time you put in. You know, if you really take someone
by hand
and you're like, all right, motherfucker, I'm gonna teach you everything I know, how much is that really worth? Because that's not a month, like it's not a thing that he's gonna make money for a month. Like if you really take someone and you transform their life, you transform their whole life.
Or just get one useful thing from it, like we discussed about earlier.
Exactly.
But what about you, Hassel, the relationship to money?
Well, this is really good, more into like setting it more comfortable with yourself and your own value, if you like. But like, I don't know, it's difficult, of course. Money is not something you can speak to. It's just some...
It's a good quote.
Put it on my wall.
You can't speak to money, Hassel.
Yeah. I'm going to list it. Okay. Anyway, it's just a number in your bank account. I mean, at the beginning, I was really not comfortable spending it. But the more you make, I feel like getting more comfortable with it. Like...
Mm.
Business cost upgrades, or even reinvesting
in the Lamborghini business. You just got.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I think money is like for most people, their financial, like, how do you say that, knowledge is pretty weak. I think for all of us, it's pretty good, I'd say.
We're getting there.
I think there's also an experiment, like, you can ask, like, if you ask someone, like, what do you think of millionaires? Like, some people, they say, like, oh, they inspire me to grow
further. And some people say they're evil.
I don't like them. And then that's a very strong relationship with money as well. Maybe you got taught, like, your parents said to you when you were young, like, money is dirty, like, money's not good because it's the evil of the world, or I don't know. Like, it all depends on that as well. But it is a fun test to maybe ask your friends or people around you, like, what do you think of millionaires?
Yeah. I think, I don't remember who it was, maybe Ty, but he said that money basically represents reciprocal altruism. So what that means is, or Elon Musk says that you get paid in direct proportion to the difficulty of the problem you solve, right? So let's say, for example, that, you know, the problem that I'm solving right now with my Amazon, you know, product review videos is I'm helping people make a buying decision, right? So the problem is that they don't know what to choose, right? So I help them, right?
Yeah.
How big of a problem is that really?
Yeah, not much.
That's not a big problem. So the commissions on Amazon are not that big. Bum, right? If you are launching people into space to Mars, you know, and you're building megaton,
But I'm not sure if he earns a lot of money with SpaceX though. But I get what you mean. Not yet. Well, maybe. I think the patents and everything, that's worth a lot of money, the technology itself.
So basically reciprocal altruism.
The thing is, you're kind of doing the same as a real estate agent, right? Whereas the people watch your videos, they want to buy a water bottle, and the people with the real estate agent want to buy a house.
Right.
Because that they'll get paid more, but they kind of do the same.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different, but
right.
The thing that they're doing is they're solving which house they should buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're solving which water bottle they should buy.
But the value of a house is higher.
In terms of what you're helping them choose, you could also get paid more.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, reciprocal altruism basically states that, like, if you do something for someone, then you are going to get that back. People basically, like, if I do something nice for you, you're going to feel obligated almost inside of your mind to do something nice back to me. And that is represents the same thing with money. So, like, if I help someone free of charge, then money is a representation of that basically energy back. I don't know if that sounds a bit too woo-woo.
It's a transaction.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but it's a transaction. But I feel like for a lot of people that might sound a bit like woo-woo, but once you get to like this next level kind of thing, then it starts to make more sense.
I agree.
Because when I was a beginner, that all was like bullshit.
What was bullshit?
Like this, what I'm talking about now.
Gotcha.
But now I'm saying it myself and it's like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, you're so sexy and awesome. Thank you. All right, we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Yes. Bye. Ciao.